And good morning. Welcome to the Piano Bench on Spokane Public Radio. I'm Jim Tevenin. Always a delight to be with you every Tuesday morning, and especially a delight because we have guests in our studio today. Let me introduce our first one, Judith Shefflin, a familiar voice. She is a frequent visitor to Spokane Public Radio and to the Piano Bench because she teaches at Whitworth University. The last time we were together, it was for that amazing duo piano mini festival that we held here. It was just an absolute delight. So, Judith, as always, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
And this time around, you are going to be telling us a little bit about a program that's happening this weekend. So, first of all, let's take it back one step and talk a bit about your series, which has been going on for how many years now?
Well, roughly about 25 years. This is the actual 19th series itself, depending sometimes in the fall, sometimes in the spring. A gap here when I had rotator cuff surgery and things like that. But we started with actually 5 concerts the very first year, and then several times have had as many as 2. This year we're doing 1.
And this is all around women composers, specifically through
the years. We've done over 140 women composers.
And you have really run the gamut as far as the instrumentation involved and the number of people who are involved in the recitals and the concerts. This time around, we have a single pianist, Roger McVeigh, but what was the largest ensemble that you recall working with in the festival?
Well, actually, our Wind Symphony did an entire program, and those were essentially living women composers because we don't find too many women writing for that instrumentation prior to the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. And this time around, you also are featuring living women composers.
Correct.
And those 2 boxes checked off there because, you know, the work of living composers often gets neglected on programs or is feared this is a separate discussion. But we do have women composers writing for piano, and they are all very much alive. Well, I think we should introduce our pianist. He's a faculty member at the University of Idaho. His name is Roger McVeigh, and he's going to be playing this concert, which is coming up again this weekend. Let's do the specifics once right now so everybody can...
Well, it's this Saturday night, February 2 at 8 o'clock at Whitworth in the recital hall called the Myrie Recital Hall, and it's free, open to the public.
Very good. All right. I think we're going to go now to our studio, our performance studio, and hear a bit from Roger McVeigh.
Thank you.
pianist Roger McVeigh playing in our Spokane Public Radio studios this morning. We are with Roger and also with Judith Shefflin from the faculty of Whitworth University. It's about Judith's series that continues this weekend, all about women composers. And we welcome our third voice to our control room now. And Roger McVeigh, welcome to Spokane Public Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And what was the piece that you played for us?
That was a Nocturne by Lori Leitman.
All right. And that is on your program for this weekend.
Yes, it is.
Very good. Let's get everyone introduced to you briefly. So where are you from originally, and how did you come to the piano in the
first? I grew up in North Carolina, on the coast of North Carolina, beautiful place. And I first encountered the piano through my mother, who played piano and organ throughout my childhood. And I became interested eventually and asked her to take lessons and started learning as a child. And I think I didn't practice very much for a lot of my childhood, but I got more serious about it in high school and decided that's what I wanted to pursue for the rest of my life. And so then I went on to university to study piano performance, first in North Carolina. Then I went on to graduate school at Indiana University, a great music school.
Who is your main teacher there?
At Indiana, I studied with, I was fortunate to study with a great pianist and teacher named Menachem Pressler, pianist for the Beaux-Arts Trio, and who is still alive and until just very recently is still performing.
Right.
And I went on from there to earn my doctorate degree at the University of Kansas. And then since that time, I've lived and worked in a few different places, but we've been in Idaho now for about 6 years. Mm-hmm. I'm really, really loving it here.
Very good. Very good. This is an interesting recital on many, many levels. And Judith and I were talking a bit about that before you started playing. Mm-hmm. But there are two things that are notable about it right from the get-go. One is that women composers are the menu for this particular recital. And the second thing is that they are all still very much alive, still very much with us.
Oh, yes.
Which is, you know, it's remarkable on two counts then. What was your inspiration for putting together this recital?
Sure. Well, you know, playing the music of today, of living composers, has always been a very important part of who I am as a musical artist. I think it's essential to, and it's fascinating to work with living composers. We can't call up Beethoven, ask him what he was thinking about when he wrote this, you know, piano sonata. But with living composers, you get the opportunity to see how they perceive the music, what's their idea behind the music, and that gives you a different perspective on music of the past too, I believe. So it's always been an important part of what I am, what I do, and who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've been preparing a recording recently, including some of these pieces of these women composers. And all the composers on this program, with the exception of Carolyn Shaw, are composers that I've been lucky enough to work with personally. And having that personal connection is really important to me as well.
And it's an interesting list. I was unfamiliar with a couple of the composers on the list. You're opening with a suite by Libby Larson,
yes,
who I think is familiar. For those who are aware of the musical scene these days, I think Libby Larson is one name that will pop into your head as far as being recognizable. I remember actually doing a piece of hers for children's choir a number of years ago. Very accessible stuff, even for younger singers.
Yes.
Really a lot of fun. But tell us a little bit about that suite.
Oh, so this is a piece that I actually commissioned from Ms. Larson a couple years ago. I've admired her music for a long time, ever since I first heard it as a student. And so I applied for a grant through the University of Idaho and was fortunate enough to get it. And so as part of that grant, I wanted to commission a great composer to write a new piece for solo piano. And so I contacted her and she wrote this piece for me. It's called 4 1/2, and it's a suite of 5 movements. I'm only doing the first movement this weekend, but it's a suite of five different movements for piano. It's called 4 1/2 because the second piece is for left hand only. So I guess she felt like it was half of a piece. I don't know.
But she puts her up there with Ravel and all the rest who wrote for the left hand only. Tell us a little bit about that process. You got the funding together, and you requested a piece from her. Mm-hmm. And what was your input into that process? How did that work?
Yeah, that's a really interesting part of working with composers. What I've found in my experience anyways is that composers are often somewhat flexible and very open to the ideas of the performer to make the music as effective as possible. So in the case of this piece, I contacted Libby Larson. I told her I wanted to commission this piece from her. She asked what kind of a piece I wanted, if I had any particular ideas about how it should be realized. And I really wanted to give her full rein, so I tried not to put any conditions on it. But then once I was getting ready to perform it, I traveled to Minneapolis, where she lives, and spent a weekend working with her on it. And that was so interesting because some of the gestures that I was having trouble understanding in the piece, she could kind of explain what she was thinking about. Mm-hmm. And then we found a couple spots that she, after she heard them, she said, oh, you know, this doesn't really work the way that I imagined it. Let's change it. And so she's very open to my ideas mm-hmm. about what we should do to make the piece more effective. And that was really interesting and wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've performed the entire piece.
I have.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Now, the second piece on the program is the one that we just heard, the Nocturne by Laurie Lateman. Mm-hmm. Have you been able to work with her directly on any project?
A little bit, yeah. I met Ms. Lateman at a conference way back in 2001. I was performing with a singer friend of mine. She's especially known as a composer of songs and opera. Not really much piano music, but I didn't really know much about her. I really enjoyed the songs I was performing with my friend, and she was at the conference, and so she came to hear us perform, and she was very gracious afterwards, and I asked her if she had any piano music. And she said, well, not really, but I do have this one piece. I'll send it to you if you like. And that was very nice of her, and I didn't expect to actually hear anything further from mm-hmm. her. But then, you know, about a week later, I got in the mail this piece. And it's a beautiful piece that she wrote for her son on his 12th birthday. Her son is actually now a very famous harpsichordist and collaborative pianist. But that's how I came to encounter this piece. And I worked with her via email, really, about some suggestions and some ideas for register changes and performance of the piece.
It's a lovely, lovely little piece.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
The most familiar name to performers, and especially from my world, the organ world, is is Emma Lou Diemer, who has written tons of stuff for organ, a lot of it quite challenging.
Oh, yes.
She does not let you off easy at all. Tell us a bit about the sonata you're doing. It's her third piano sonata.
Yes. So, Ms. Diemer is an incredibly prolific and celebrated composer in the United States and still active, I should mention, at 90 or 91 years old. I encountered this piece when she was coming to be part of a festival of her music. And I was living in Georgia at the time, working in Georgia. And the organizer of the festival asked if I'd like to play something in the festival. And the only piece I knew of hers was a piece called Toccata for piano, which is probably her most famous piano piece. So I asked about playing the Toccata, but someone had already signed up to play that piece. But this person suggested, how about, Ms. Diemer suggested maybe the sonata number 3, which was completed in 2001. And I said, sure, I'll take a look at it. I always love to explore new music. And I loved it. I just fell right away in love with it. And it's very accessible. It's very exciting. It has a lot of great variety throughout the piece. It has a little bit of what we call extended technique, which means playing the instrument in non-traditional ways to get different sorts of sound, one of the techniques that she likes to use in piano music is muffling the strings inside the piano with one hand while playing on the keys with the other. This produces a sort of a more percussive timbre, and something that this piece employs as well. So I learned the piece for this festival, and then she came and I got to work with her on the piece, and I've stayed in contact with her ever since. That's fantastic, and I've performed it actually many times in my life.
And on the other end of the age spectrum is Carolyn Shaw,
yes,
whose piece opens up the second part of your program, Gustave Legray. Carolyn Shaw is one of those American phenomena. She is the youngest person to have won a Pulitzer Prize for this wonderfully out there piece for eight singers that she wrote. And again, you've not had a chance to meet her, you say?
That's correct. Yeah. I haven't been able to work with her.
She seems like she'd be just a wonderful person to hang out with for an afternoon. Because, and I once quoted from this also, her bio closes this way. Carolyn loves the color yellow, otters, Beethoven Opus 74, Mozart opera, Kinhaven, the smell of rosemary, and the sound of a janky mandolin.
Yes.
And if you've ever seen a picture of her, she has this brightness about her, this real energetic aura or something. Is the piece that way?
The piece is very interesting. It's I should mention that Carolina is from my home state of North Carolina, so I'm particularly proud of that. This piece is a really fascinating piece. It was written in response to another piece when she was a student. She wrote this piece in response to Mazurka by Chopin. And in this piece, you get the sense of something that slowly develops over time. The name Gustave Legray refers to someone who was working in photography around the same time that Chopin was alive. And he developed this experimental technique for reproducing negatives on top of each other. So the idea is something that develops very slowly and slowly changes into something else. And then in the middle of this piece, there's sort of she calls it a gate, where she references the mazurka, the Chopin mazurka in A minor, Opus 17, number 4. And the performer has the choice to either go through that gate and perform the Chopin mazurka and then come back to Caroline's piece, or just to reference it and keep going without going through that gate. And I've done it both ways. I think it's really an interesting way to reference and pay homage to another piece of music.
It's kind of the musical equivalent of the open-ended writing that some mystery writers will, they provide alternative endings. So
yes.
Except this is the middle of the piece. And then you close with the Theme in 10 Variations, music by Wynne Ann Rossi, which is the other name mm-hmm. from this list that I was just not familiar with.
Yes. Well, Wynne Ann Rossi will be very familiar to piano teachers. She's well known as a pedagogical composer. She's written tons of fantastic music for teaching, for young students. And her music, I would say, focuses a lot on jazz harmony, jazz sonority, as well as musics of other cultures. She has a great Latin American collection of teaching pieces, for example. And something that she does is she goes into schools and helps students with composing projects using non-traditional ways of notating music to make it more accessible to them. And she is a fantastic woman composer. I've been fortunate to work with her. And I recorded one of her pieces on my album Perspectives that I encountered and I really loved. And so I contacted her and I just, hey, I recorded this piece of yours. I really love it. Do you have any other music that I could explore, any more serious music? And she said, well, I have this piece. It's not published and it's only been played once, but I'll send it to you if you like. And it's this set of variations which she wrote in 2002. And I just think it's such an incredible piece. I really think it's clever and wonderful and accessible to listeners. It has fascinating variety. polyphony and a lot of the jazz harmony that I mentioned, as well as bitonality and other sort of more modern techniques. But a fantastic piece. So it's one of my missions is to play this piece as much as possible mm-hmm. and introduce listeners to it.
It sounds like a wonderful piece and a wonderful program also. Mm-hmm. This program coming up this weekend at Whitworth University, played by our guest in the studio this morning, Roger McVeigh. Roger, it's been a delight to get to know you and to hear your thoughts on these composers and these pieces that you're going to play. And can you play us out now?
Sure. I'll play the first movement of Imogu Demir's Sonata No. 3, which I'll be performing this weekend.
All right. Very good. Roger McVeigh, our pianist in studio today, and along with Roger, of course, Ms. Judith Shefflin, who is still across the way from us here. And Judith, remind us again of the timing of this program. It's going to be on Saturday.
It will be Saturday evening, 8 o'clock, in the Myrie Recital Hall at Whitworth University.
Very good. And we hope to see you and to have you back in again very soon, and also for you to bring some students along, which is another one of our traditions here. So
I would love to do that.
Excellent. Look forward to that. All right, let's go to our studio and Roger McVeigh playing the music of Imogu Demir.
Thank you.
a piece to which wow would be an appropriate response. That was the opening movement to the Piano Sonata No. 3, music of American composer Emma Lou Deamer, played by our guest in the studio today, Roger McVeigh, who will be playing that and a complete program of music by living women composers at Whitworth University this weekend. You're listening to The Piano Bench on Spokane Public Radio.